Open your Bibles now to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. 1 Timothy, the first chapter, in your Schofield Bible, page 1274. The text verse is verse 4. I'll read the verse before that, and you'll join me on the fourth verse, and then we'll turn to another passage in the book of Titus. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Once again, I'll read the third verse. You'll join me on verse 4, and then we'll turn to another passage. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now turn to Titus chapter 3, page 1284 in the Schofield Bible. Titus chapter 3. I will read verse 8, and you will join me, please, on verse 9. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And let's pray. Father, bless the service, bless the preaching. How fortunate we are to have this place to which we can come. How really blessed we are to have a man of God who preaches to us thy word. And what a blessing to know the blessing of this place Sunday by Sunday. And so here we are once again expecting great things from thee. And may the Holy Spirit of God minister now to our needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Almost every week, by Monday morning, I know what I'm going to preach on the next Sunday, both morning and evening. I felt like, in fact, I almost preached last Sunday on what I'm going to speak about this morning. I have three fully outlined messages in my office that I have planned and prepared for this morning, because I did not feel what I'm going to speak about this morning was quite worthy of a morning service. And every time I'd outline a message, I'd say, no, that's not it. I'd come back to this message here. And I'd outline another, and I said, no, that's not it. This morning I'm going to speak on two words, strangest words you ever heard in your life, and how in the world anybody get a sermon out of this, you'll wonder, both before you hear it and after you hear it. But I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, avoid genealogies. Isn't that strange? Avoid genealogies. The 1 Timothy 1:4. Well, when I turned to it, we read it a while ago. And then in Titus 3:9, we read it a while ago. It says those words. Now, there are a few words in between, but they're the object of the word avoid is not only other things, but the word genealogies. And it's not doing injustice to the Scripture to take the words avoid genealogies. For example, in Titus 3:9 says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. So I'm taking the two words out, avoid genealogies. And I must confess that I'm nearing the conclusion of my 55th year on this planet. And all times of endings and beginnings are very serious with me. The ending of a new year, the ending of an era, the beginning of a new year, the beginning of an era, a time of ending a year of life and beginning another year are very important times to me. I always try to have a lot of introspection and meditation around this time of the year. And so I'm not preaching a message about my being 55 years old. In a few days, I'm sure that both of my messages today will be colored by that fact, because my mind has been dwelling on life, what God has done with it thus far, and what I ought to be and ought to do for God, and what God ought to do through me for the whatever remaining days that I have. If I gave you my 10 favorite verses in the Bible, no kidding. John 3:16, of course. Of course. John 1:14, yes, high on my list of favorite verses. But if I gave you my 10 favorite verses in the Bible, by the way, you young preachers that are here, I don't want you taking notes while I preach. I want you to listen to me. This is no sermon preparation time. This is heart blessing time. I don't want you, this is no classroom. This is a preaching time. And if I gave you my 10 favorite verses, I'd have to be honest with you and say that one of them is this verse, Titus 3:9. Those words, avoid genealogies. I'll tell you in a few minutes why that this is one of my 10 favorite statements or verses in the entire Bible. We'll not be as bombastic as usual, I think. I do not feel any much humor coming on. I just want to talk to you this morning about those two words. I think two of the most amazing words and one of the most amazing statements in the Bible. Avoid genealogies. I love that little story about two fellows were out hunting in Africa. They came on the tracks of a tiger. And one fellow said, now, I'll tell you what you do. He said, you follow where he's going, and I'll follow where he's been. Now, that's what I'd do, too. I mean, that's the safe route. But the truth is, we're not supposed to follow where we've been as much as we're supposed to plan and find where we should go. Two men stood at the Roman Colosseum. And one man said, think of all the people who stood here in the past. And the second man said, I'd rather think of all the people who will stand here in the future. Avoid genealogies. It encouraged my heart one time. I'll tell you when in a few minutes. I think it may encourage yours today. There are not many blue bloods here. You know, I like puppy dogs. But there's one dog I never care much about, and as sure as I say this, a dozen of you will have this kind of dog. I never have liked Pekingese. I just never have liked Pekingese dog. I like a Heinz 57 varieties. I like most any kind of dog, but a Pekingese, no. A Pekingese just looks like he's saying, do you know where I came from? And I always want to say no, but I'd like to take care of where you're going to. A Pekingese, to me, looks like a snotty, blue blood, highbrow snob. Now, we'll lose four families over that one statement. You mark it down. There are four families here that don't have that get mad enough to give up their church because of their little dog. And if that's true, we'll be the gainer for it. But I'm saying that there are not many blue bloods here this morning. I mean, there's not many of you. That could trace your family tree, and if you could, you wouldn't want to. I mean, I'd be afraid to trace mine, afraid mine stands and merge back yonder somewhere. Father, bless the message. Give us, I pray, encouragement from these two amazing words, avoid genealogies. In Jesus' name, amen. What does it mean when the Bible says avoid genealogies? I'll tell you exactly what it means. I spent 6 hours and 15 minutes earlier this year, or last year, in the White House. I've talked to President Carter. I've talked to Vice President Mondale. I've talked to numbers of the cabinet members. And 6 hours and 15 minutes. When I got outside of the White House, walked out past the gate there, on the Pennsylvania Avenue, walked down the street, I saw a man, poverty-stricken, selling pencils. And I walked up and I said, "Sir, I want to shake your hand." I contributed to his cup there. And I said, "Sir, I want to shake your hand." And he said, "Well," I said, "I want to shake your hand." I said, I want you to know I'm honored to shake your hand." I just had to get somewhere where I could get a place where nobody was concerned about genealogies. God's not concerned about them. And God is as concerned about that pencil-sutting fella out on Pennsylvania Avenue as God is about the fella who lives amidst the silk and the satins on the inside of the White House. God says, avoid genealogies. Paul was saying what my mother used to say. My mother used to say, "Son, you're as good as anybody. You're better than nobody." You see, this passage has been now, since I was a 17-year-old boy, this passage has been very dear to me. And this is sort of a little testimony kind of a sermon, but I want you to hear because I believe that hundreds of you can identify with what I'm about to say. You see, I don't ever recall, and I've never said this anywhere in public, anywhere, but I don't ever recall, Dr. Evans, in my life, ever feeling as good as other people. To this day. You see, numbers of you folks can identify with that. I don't recall ever feeling as good as other people. My mother had two brothers and one sister. Her sister was wealthy. And I would go over to visit Uncle Harvey and Aunt Jimmy and their two daughters and their son. And I was always the poor kid. They'd always give us a box of clothing or something, a hand-me-downs. And I can recall, I never quite felt as good as my cousins. She had a brother who had a farm, only a 40-acre farm, but in those days, that was a pretty big farm. And so we'd go down there to Uncle Roy's, I'd look in the pantry and see all the stuff Aunt Octa had canned. And Uncle Roy, such a good man, one of the best men I ever knew in my life was my Uncle Roy, salt of the earth. But I always felt, see, my daddy was an alcoholic. And we were very, very poor. We never had two cans in the pantry at any time. I never felt quite as good. Uncle Basil's house was out in Weatherford, Texas, and I'd go out and visit out there. I always felt inferior. My best friends, Richard Newton, Bob Keyes, and Leroy Howard, all three of them had deacon daddies. And all three of them lived in houses their families owned. And I never went to Bob Keyes' house in all my life where I didn't feel inferior and didn't feel as good as Bob. Richard Newton, his dad was a deacon, and mother and dad were faithful in church, and his dad had a good job. They owned their house, and not a fancy house, but I never went to Richard's house when I felt as good as I thought Richard was. Leroy Howard lived a few blocks from me on Harlandale Street. His dad had a good job, had a nice house, and I'd go down and visit Leroy and eat. But by the way, I'd never invite those boys to come eat at my house. I was ashamed. I never felt as good as they did. In school, they laughed at me. I had 40 warts on this one hand when I was in school. 40 warts. Seed warts. Now I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I got 14 warts now. But they're on my right side instead of my left hand. But I mean, I always kept my hand in my pocket when I went to school. Afraid folks would see the warts on my left hand. I always felt like, of all the folks in the classroom, that I wasn't as good as anybody else. Mama used to say to me with the hour, "Son, you're as good as anybody." But I could see my bare feet. I could see the outhouse out in the backyard. I could see the clothes other kids wore. I could see my daddy coming home drunk in the middle of the night. I could see the line would stand in to get some food from the we used to call it relief back in those days. I mean, I could see Mama's clothes. I wish you could have seen my mother when she was 45 years old. My mother didn't have a tooth in her head that wasn't black. She couldn't afford new teeth. And I'm ashamed to say it. But there was a time when I was a bit ashamed for my friends to see my mother. And I've asked God to forgive me 10,000 times. But Mama couldn't afford to go to the dentist. And her teeth were rotting in her head. And I never felt. Never did. I'd go to church and they'd say, "Where's your daddy?" I'd say, "He's dead." Because he wasn't dead, but I was ashamed. I never felt as good as the folks in the church. They laughed at my clothes. They laughed at my size. I never felt good enough for a girl. I didn't have a date till I was 17. I decided to ask Evelyn, I think it was Evelyn Huntsbury. She was the preacher's daughter of the church where I went to at the time. Brother Huntsbury's daughter. And boy, I thought I was going to have a date. I went down and bought me a new shirt. And man, that's a once-in-a-lifetime deal in those days. And boy, I got the best clothes I had on. And I got me some Vaseline. I had a lot of hair back in those days. And I got some Vaseline and put my little pompadour just right there. Those little pompadours used to have. I put it just right and scared to death. And didn't have a car. Walked 2 blocks down to her house. For a whole week I planned for that date. She stood me up. Isn't that sad? Don't give that. Save me a quarter. If you'd get these things a little faster, I could go on with the message. I had to wait for it to roll over the crowd like that. But we'd have father-son banquets in church, and I'd always be taken by somebody who'd take the poor kid because he didn't have a dad to go with him. In music class in school, they made me sit on the front row. I couldn't sing. Everybody else sang because somehow or other, I always sang the right tune, but it was to the other song. Now I'm going to say this, and I probably shouldn't say it. This is a statement I've never made in my life before. Among preachers to this day, I still sort of feel like the one with the rough edges. I'm never with my contemporary preachers. Well, I don't sort of feel like I'm the guy across the tracks. One day, Proctor Boyd, God bless Proctor Boyd, he's in heaven now. Best Sunday school teacher I ever had. He knew I was timid. He knew I was shy. He was the vice president of a big bank in Southwest Dallas. And best man I ever knew, I guess, during my childhood. It was Joe Boyd's brother, older brother. But Proctor Boyd was the most clean-cut epitome of what I thought a man ought to be than I ever saw. One day, Proctor Boyd, my Sunday school teacher, sat me down. He said, "Jack, I want to show you something." He held me after Sunday school class. He said, "I want to show you something." He turned to Titus 3:9. He showed me two words. He said, "Son, avoid genealogies." He said, "Jack, you're as good as anybody in the world." He said, "I'm as proud to have you in my class as any other boy in the class." I'm talking to somebody this morning who's an illegitimate child. You don't feel as good as others. Your mom and dad weren't married when you were conceived or born. And you know it. And one of the saddest days in your life. And I dare say, Doc, I dare say there are 500 such people in this room. And you can't take your genealogy back to a good family tree. And the truth is, you don't even know. So in some cases, you don't even know who your daddy is. Why, there are dozens of young people in this room this morning who have not the foggiest idea who their daddy is. That's why the Holy Spirit inspired the apostle to say twice, avoid genealogies. Fully on where you came from. It's where you're going to that's the big thing. That's the big thing. Talking to this morning some little orphans in this room. Big orphans, too. I know half a dozen people in this room that were left at a doorstep. At least a half a dozen were left at a doorstep. You don't even know who your mother is.
your mother, maybe she couldn't afford to rear you, or maybe she didn't even want you, and she just took you and put you, as one lady in this room this morning put her, in a garbage can in the backyard, hoping somebody'd come out and find, they put the garbage out, find the baby, and they did. And that little lady said to me time and time again, "Preacher, I don't understand it. I don't feel as good. I don't care if you feel good or not. You're as good as anybody in the whole world." And that's why the Holy Spirit inspired the apostle to say, "Avoid genealogies."
I'm talking to some people who never married. I'm talking to some young lady this morning who never has heard the words, "Will you marry me?" No talking, please, young people. I'm talking to some folks this morning, young ladies who never heard the words, "Will you marry me?" I'm talking to ladies this morning, 35 and 40 years of age. No man has ever said to you, "I love you." Maybe your nose isn't exactly where others are, and maybe it's got a little hump where there should be a dent. Or maybe your eyes are a little farther apart than they should be to make for beauty, or maybe their eyes are a little closer together, or maybe they're so friendly they look at each other all the time. I don't know. But it may be that your lips don't curve just right, and your skin isn't as smooth as somebody else's, and you've never even heard the words, "I love you," or "sweetheart," or "darling," or "will you marry me?" And you feel a little less than somebody else. Let me stand this morning and tell you the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, placed in the Bible, avoid genealogies. You're as good as anybody. Talking to somebody this morning who's a widow, having a tough time making ends meet. I'm talking to some college student this morning who's here at Hiles Anderson College, and your dad's not a pastor of a church anywhere. And your dad's not a deacon. You're a bus kid. And you're at college this morning, to be quite frank, you do not know what you're going to do when the next bill time comes around. You haven't got the foggiest idea. Dad's not going to write a check and send it. The business office and the church back home doesn't care that much about you. They're not going to send you a check and help pay your college bill. And the truth is, you're just here till the next payment is due. And you haven't got the foggiest idea where it's coming from, and you're fretting and you don't feel quite as good. Maybe you got to wait on tables out to school or something. Or maybe you have to work in to clean the building somewhere. And you don't feel quite as good as somebody else. Let me tell you what the Apostle Paul said. He said genealogies are not really important. Talking to somebody this morning whose parents don't come to church. You wish they did. I'm talking to some divorced lady this morning who's having a tough time making ends meet. Right now, that I've got three ladies who have children but no husbands living or with them. And a divorced or husband's dead. And right now, three. I'm just trying to find enough furniture to put in the house so they have a bed to sleep in at night. Three little ladies sitting in this room this morning. They have a place to rent. They don't know how they're going to make the payments on it. But they haven't got a bed to sleep in. Not a refrigerator. Not a stove to cook on. Not a chair. Not a sofa. I'll be honest with you. I feel guilty. I feel so guilty. The other night, I got home. And our furnace wasn't working. So I went downstairs, and I can fix anything. The way you do it is you pick up the telephone and call the number. And so furnace wasn't working. And it was the first little cool snap we had. And so the security guard sleeps out in front of my house every night. I called him in and I said, "What do you know about a furnace?" Furnace, he knew exactly what I did. He came and did what I did. He looked at it, that side, that side, and that side, and that side. But here's the thing about it. I was embarrassed to invite him into our lovely home. Because I know how some of you college students live. And I know your apartments. And I wished I could have moved the carpet out and moved the furniture out and put just maybe a bedstead in there. Some of you this morning are not as pretty as others. Some young ladies can't afford the clothes that others can wear. Some of you older people are not as active in life as you used to be. Some of you folks in the Pathfinders, educable slow, we call them retarded, sitting over here this morning. We still wish each other a happy Father's Day. They wish me a happy Father's Day. on Father's Day, and the next week went out and wished me Happy Father's Day again. So every week I go out and say, Happy Father's Day! And now they know it's over. But I have an idea that some of you folks would like to go to the same schools everybody else goes to. And you'd like to go to the same Sunday school class everybody else goes to. I'm talking to college students all over the house today, and widows, and aged people. And when I said a while ago, I always felt like, and still do, like I'm not quite as good as other people, when I said that immediately, dozens of you, hundreds of you said, that's the way I feel. Well, I've got news for you. God said avoid genealogies. God's not concerned about where you came from. I'm talking also this morning to some educated people. And you're proud of your education. Foolish, 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 foolish. God said avoid genealogies. Oh, but you say, Brother Hines, my great, 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 great grandfather came over on the Mayflower. Yes, they said all those folks were thieves, had to leave Europe. One lady said to Dr. James McGinley, she said, did you know that the furniture in this house goes back to Louis the 14th? He said, don't feel bad, honey. Mine's going back to Sears Roebuck the 15th. There is not anything in this world as despicable to God Almighty as a proud person. Nothing. One reason why the poorest man in this room is welcome as the richest man. And that's been that way 22 years. As long as this preacher stands behind this pulpit, you mark it down, it'll always be that way. Avoid the genealogies. But you say, I went to Harvard and Yale and Princeton. You can be forgiven for that like any other sinner and get forgiveness. Don't you rub your Princeton in my nose, buddy. Dean Jorgensen went to Princeton, didn't he? Don't you rub that in my nose, buddy. No, sir. Don't you rub your Harvard in my nose, your Yale, University of Chicago. Don't rub your background. I don't care if your dad, your granddad was George Washington's nephew. I don't care. All God's concerned about is this. It's not where you've been. It's where you're going. It's not what you've been. It's what you will be. That's the thing that concerns our God. God says avoid genealogies. I'm talking to some folks whose parents are well-to-do. Some who have talent. I got news for you. God just soon hear me sing to you. Now, you hadn't just soon hear me sing this. It's Idson, but God had. I sang the other day to God, and he said, I like your voice as much as I like Miss Idson's. I think that's what he said. Yeah. Oh, you see, Brother Hiles, I want you to know how much money I put in the offering plate. Well, if you don't put any more in the offering plate than anybody else that gives the tithe. Greatest gift that's ever been given, our Lord wanted to show us the greatest gift ever been given. And God said to the little lady, come by the offering plates. And the rich men dropped in their millions, and I think they should. I'm not against it. But I'll die before I minimize the two mites. And that little lady dropped her two mites in the offering plate. It made so much noise, it's been heard around the world for 2,000 years. Avoid genealogies. Nothing any sadder, I think, than for somebody to think, he's extra special, or she, because she's pretty. You didn't make your face, honey. And by the way, a pretty face is made ugly by a haughty look. I'm saying that this morning I just sort of felt like I wanted to encourage a lot of people. You sitting out there this morning covering up a patch in your trousers. You sitting out there this morning with the memory of your mother telling you that she wasn't married when you were conceived. you sitting out there this morning and you don't even know who your daddy is. And in some cases, you don't know who your mother is. I'll never forget that lady came to me and said, with the house, I'm an aborted baby. They sent an attempt to abort my mother tried to abort me. She thought I was dead, and she put me in a haystack and covered me up. She said somebody came by and heard a cry coming from that haystack. That cry was me, and my mother thought I was dead. She said, my mother tried to kill me. She said, all I have to remember is a mother that tried to kill me. She said, I was picked up in a haystack. She said, how can I remount anything? I turned her over to the genealogy of Jesus and showed her only four women listed in the genealogy of Jesus, and all of them were bad women who'd been saved by the grace of God. Oh, the kings and queens, the queens and princesses, they weren't listed in the genealogy of Jesus. They're no more about a gal named Ruth, a heathen gal. Little old gal named Tamar that had come back from a fallen life of being a prostitute. And little a gal named Bathsheba, who had sinned with David, and yet God took a Bathsheba and made her the mother of Solomon. God took a Boaz, a Ruth, in Moab, and made Ruth the grandmother of the great David. I'm saying this morning, it doesn't matter who you are, God loves you. And God said, if God tells us to avoid genealogies, then certainly God avoids genealogies. I'm not minimizing you folks that have. Well, I thank God for you. See me after the service. I'll fellowship with you. I'm not minimizing that, but I am just magnifying the importance of every single human being who walks on the face of God's earth. And God says, avoid genealogies. I'm not trying to bring anybody down. I'm trying to lift everybody up. I enjoyed telling the gospel story to my hero of childhood, Ted Williams, the famous baseball player. I think the greatest batter, hitter that ever lived, ever picked up a baseball bat. I enjoyed in Florida meeting Ted Williams. I'd never met him before, and I told him about what I knew about him, and he said, my, you know more about me than I do. I told him about the time when he got mad at the umpire and at the manager and took one swing with one hand, just one hand, and knocked the ball against the center field fence for a double. I told him about the time he got mad and threw his bat and hit a lady in the head on the front row of the stand. And she took the bat and she said, oh, what an honor to be hit by Ted Williams' bat. She said, would you sign it for me? He signed it and gave it to her. Ted Williams stood there amazed. He said, you remember all that stuff? I said, sure. I remember Rip Sewell's grouper ball. You knocked for a home run. You hit two home runs and two doubles in the All-Star game in 1941. I remember the last game you played. Last day, you're batting 399.6. That means 400. If you hadn't played that day, you batted 400. If you did play, took a chance on getting no hits and batting less than 400. But you played and hit a doubleheader and got six hits in the doubleheader and batted 406. And he looked at me and he said, my soul, you know more about me, man, than I do. I've forgotten some of those things. And I said, but not a one of them will do you any good, Ted, when you stand before God. Not a one of them. That big old 6'4" giant of a man, best batter that ever lived, and my hero when I was a kid, bowed his head and tears streamed down his cheeks, and he prayed the sinner's prayer and came to Christ. I didn't know until a month later that he had an old Salvation Army, old-fashioned brother, been praying for salvation for years and years. But do you know as God sees it, that man's salvation, God did not rejoice a bit more over that than he will the next bus kid that walks down the aisle and receives Christ as Savior. I was reading somewhere in my travels a story about a Mohammedan talking to a Christian. I love this. Talking to a Christian. And the Mohammedan said, we Mohammedans have something you Christians don't have. And the Christian said, what? And said, I said, we can prove to you that our God lived, or Muhammad lived. We can take you to where his corpse is and take you to his grave. He said, you cannot take me to the grave of Jesus. And the Christian said, we don't need no grave. We ain't got no corpse. Yeah. I can't brag much about where I came from. I could tell you about my daddy who could hardly write. I've seen him sign an X on a checkbook. Have somebody sign it, or check and have somebody sign it. I can't brag very much.
So I'm not ashamed of my heritage. You're looking at the first person on either side of my family. As far back as our family went, you're looking at the first person either side that ever graduated from college. But I can brag an awful lot about where I'm going. Somebody asked Branch Rickey. I guess the smartest baseball mind that ever lived. And by the way, Branch Rickey, though he owned baseball teams and influenced baseball more than probably any man in our lifetime, Branch Rickey never went to a baseball game on Sunday. Never. Never. You know why? Because when his mother was dying, she looked up and said, Branch, make me a promise. Promise me you'll never play ball or go to a ball game on Sunday. And until that man died, he never went to a Sunday ball game. Somebody asked him when he got old, he's looking back toward his life. Somebody said to Mr. Rickey, said, you've been in baseball all these years. They said, what is your greatest thrill? And Branch Rickey said, I haven't had it yet. I haven't had it yet. Yeah. Avoid genealogies. It helped me when I was a boy. In a few days, I'll be speaking for the 12th time in 22 years at the Southwide Baptist Fellowship, and I guess Dr. Lee Robertson and I have spoken there more than any other men in the Nationwide Fellowship Convention. Thousands of people every year, probably 3,000 or 4,000 preachers there every year. And I'll sit on the platform as I always do and feel like the least likely one and feel a bit inferior to everybody else. And then my mind will go back to the little Sunday school classroom down the basement of the Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And one of the finest men I ever knew asked me to stay after class. He opened his Bible to Titus 3:9 and said, Jack, let me show you a scripture. Avoid genealogies. That means this morning it doesn't matter who you are, the Savior loves you. He wants to forgive every sin, make you His child. And our Lord Jesus will be just as honored for you to come to the cross this morning, trust Him as your Savior, as if Prince Charles did. I notice Prince Charles's wife is getting a little unhappy already. You read in the newspaper, hear on the news? She's a little unhappy. She's getting bored with that kind of life. Well, get out of that dumb Buckingham Palace and get out there on Skid Row and feed some poor hungry people. Quit spending all the millions on yourself and feed some hungry people and get your Bible down and find out there's a palace in glory the Buckingham Palace couldn't make a toilet for. Set your affection on that. I like what that Methodist preacher said. He was wrong. A bunch of preachers talking together. Somebody said, who started the Baptist church? And the guy said, John the Baptist. So who started the Presbyterian church? And the Presbyterian preacher said, John Calvin. The fellow said, well, who started the Methodist church? The Methodist preacher said, John Wesley. The Baptist preacher said, who's John Wesley? The Methodist preacher said, read your Bible, man. Now, you won't find in the Bible John Wesley. And I'm not sure if I can follow the trail of blood all the way back to the first, but I'll guarantee you one thing. I can follow the trail of blood all the way to glory. Somebody said, can you trace your lineage back to John the Baptist? I don't know, but I can trace it forward to John the Baptist. I'm not even sure. And that's all that matters. Why? Because it doesn't matter. God can use you. God will save you this morning. It doesn't matter where you came from. God will lift you out of the depths of sin and set your feet on a solid rock and make you His child and write your name in heaven and take you to glory and make you a prince of God and a priest of God, an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Stand tall and throw your shoulders back and throw your chest down and lift your voice high and say, I walk with the King. Hallelujah. I walk with the King. Bless His name. It doesn't matter where you came from if you know where you're going to. And God will receive you this morning. Everyone who will come in believing faith, God will receive you. And then I say in closing, He can also use you. He can also use you. Paul wrote to the Corinthian people, said, not many wise have chosen. Not many mighty. As morning, I'd just like to testify to the goodness of God. I'm glad God didn't need wise people and mighty people. And I praise Him after 55 years of being on this earth. God just wants yielded people. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter. God said avoid genealogies. Can you trace yourself back to the Mayflower? No. But I can trace myself up to the rapture. And that's all that matters. Father,